Years ago, when I was just a child, 4 or 5 years old, we lived just outside of West Cornwall and on the Sharon side of the river. And when my dad used to have to go into New York City when I was a little kid, we didn't have to drive into the city. We drove down to West Cornwall, plopped dad on the train, and off he went to New York City. Well, that went away, and as I was a little older, we all have to get into a car and drive to New York City and drop my dad off and drive back, which was a big hassle. So I appreciate train service. And the person who is joining us this morning also understands the importance of trains. That's Karen Christensen of the Train Campaign, and she joins us this morning. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning, Marshall. It's great to be here.
You know, I can remember my father getting on those cars, the lit-up cars, the silver cars, where you just... And they pulled off, and off he went to New York City. And it wasn't that long after that. I think it was in the early 60s or maybe the early 60s where that service, the passenger service, went away. How long have you and others been campaigning for this? I mean, we met years and years ago when you first started this.
Not as long ago as 1971 when the last train ran. I got involved in this in 2011, so it's been a while. It's been a little too long, but we're getting there. I think it's so interesting. We now have a generation that doesn't think getting behind a wheel is the way to show that you're grown up. People don't want young people, and the rest of us. We don't want to be behind a wheel. We're quite happy to have various kind of car services, and then we want trains back.
Well, you know, it's interesting because the Wasaic Project on the New York side of the border here in Wasaic, New York, has a festival each year. And the train out of New York City, the line of I won't call them kids, but young adults who come up to this festival via the train and then will walk from the train station down Route 22, it's about a mile and a half, to the hamlet of Wasaic, is absolutely astounding each year.
Yeah, and we're working hard to see what was called the Housatonic Line, or actually better known as the Berkshire Line, which ran from New York City, from Grand Central Station up to Danbury, Connecticut, and through New Milford, up through your neck of the woods, and on through the Berkshires to Pittsfield.
Now, what's interesting about that is the Housatonic Railroad is running their service, which is freight service alike. You have gone through some very highs and lows, especially regarding the state of Connecticut. And for the folks who live in Connecticut now, where does it stand? I know that Connecticut was so broke that they really couldn't meet up with Massachusetts. Is there light at the end of the tunnel for Connecticut joining in with Massachusetts?
Well, it's very interesting what's happened just recently. And admittedly, that any kind of cross-border or interstate project, infrastructure project, is more challenging than I would ever have guessed. It's not an easy thing to get the Massachusetts and the Connecticut Departments of Transportation to really work effectively together, but it has happened, and that's what we're counting on. But the interesting thing is that Governor Lamont released a working draft of his transport bill on May 21st, and included in that was wording that says that Metro-North service would be extended past Danbury to New Milford. So that's one piece of the line that I'm talking about. That's one piece of the Berkshire line. And in addition to that, the mayor of Danbury, Mark Fountain, is working very hard to get restored passenger service on what's called the Maybrook link that goes between Danbury and Southeast or Brewster, New York. And that is part of this, the current freight service, but it is also a chunk of the Berkshire line. Up in Massachusetts, major investment, $30 million right now is being invested in upgrading the line from the Connecticut border to Pittsfield to a standard on which we can run modern passenger trains. So the missing link here is that 37 miles of track owned by the state of Connecticut from New Milford up to the Connecticut border.
And do you feel that once the service to Danbury is restored, that it might be a little easier fight for you to get that last 37 miles in?
We are going to be very actively working with legislators and other community leaders and citizen leaders in northwestern Connecticut. And there are many people who are extremely keen on that link being filled in. So we're not going to wait for other things to happen. We are looking at some other funding strategies that might kind of even it out and make it more feasible for Connecticut to step in. It's very important for departments of transportation are focused on moving people from one place to another. They are not focused on working out the economic or social benefits of transportation. And so this is something that the train campaign really feel that we can contribute. And I have some terrific volunteer professionals who are working on it in a very imaginative 21st century ways to figure out how to sort of put the pieces of the puzzle together and restore the Berkshire line.
We're speaking with Karen Christensen, the train campaign, and that's restoring train service. So you could go all the way to New York City, or from leave New York City and go all the way up to Pittsfield if need be. A lot of the infrastructure is there, especially that 37-mile part you talk is probably going to need the most work of anything. But what I find so interesting with this is that this is left from being a Massachusetts initiative, you have now volunteers basically and people working this in all three states.
That's right. Yes. There's a great deal of interest in New York. And, of course, we are all connected. So many of the people, I mean, myself, I spend a lot of time in New York. There are other people, we are not fixed in one place. We feel at home. We want the benefits, the variety of the city. And we love these rural regions that are all we also call home. And we want to see them connected in ways that will benefit the people who live here and will bring new people to our region.
You know, anybody who has any questions about that, all they have to do is really go across to New York side of the border and take a look when, once again, Wasaic was included in at the new, where they ran the tracks all the way to there. And when they first built that parking lot, everybody thought they just were crazy building a parking lot that size. Well, that parking lot is jammed full all the time.
Absolutely.
The Silo Ridge area now, that incredible private development, which is bringing millions of dollars of tax dollars into Amenia, New York, probably would not be there if it were not for the train service that comes right to its next door. I mean, that's how economically important proper train service is.
Absolutely. And calculating some of those things is going to be really important to our efforts so that we can make a case, a business case, an economic case, as well as a case in terms of the social improvements, the improvements to communities that can come from having regular daily passenger train service to a major city like New York.
Now, if people want to get involved, or if people who have questions are saying, trains, what's the easiest way for them to get a hold of you and other people at the train campaign?
Yeah, please visit www.traincampaign.org. We've got tons of information there. We have a frequent newsletter. I've started to do podcasts. I'll be doing one with Massachusetts State Senator Eric Lesser tomorrow. And we'll be doing more with other leaders in the region so that people who want to listen on their maybe on their car commute and learn about the train campaign will be able to do that too. We'll be hosting those at iTunes as well as other sites. But sign up for our newsletter, please, traincampaign.org. There's an email contact address there. People are very welcome to write in with questions.
Now, if people want more information, when we post this up on our on-demand site, this interview will be on our on-demand site, we have all the links you need to contact all the various folks at the train campaign on that link. So now, this has been like a roller coaster ride for you, ups the highs of
yes.
High and the lows of low. Now, where you are right now, Is this about the best you felt about the possibility of this, or you know, where are you in that scale of?
Absolutely. When I see this activity, this new interest in Connecticut, which I wasn't familiar with, you know, now that I've started going down to New Milford and Danbury, and I've talked to people, I hear from people how interested they are, not just in service to New York, but in the restoring the whole line and being able to get up to the Berkshires and be for people from the Berkshires to be able to come down and enjoy their beautiful region and beautiful towns. I'm very enthusiastic. I'm also incredibly positive because I can walk down from my house in Great Barrington and I can see the new steel, 1/4 mile pieces of 36-pound rail. That is good stuff. That is what we want. And it's lying there. It's been paid for by the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, and it's going to be installed to replace all that old clickety-click track that's on the line now.
It's an amazing story, and I'm a big believer in the rebirth of trains. Like I said, when I was a kid, it used to make us very easy to go into the city with my dad. And getting into a car was, I guess, a lot more of an adventure when you're a kid. But when you're an adult, getting stuck in all that traffic is no longer an adventure. And the trains, it's basically, look, would you rather have trains on the rails or tons of cars and tons of trucks on the highway?
Passenger rail is 21st century travel. And this line is probably the best case in the United States in terms of showing a model for the restoration of rail. And it's actually, in many ways, although it's got its complications, it's an easier project because because the freight service is still running. It's got trains on it every single day.
Well,
that's a huge advantage in legal terms and in practical terms.
Well, keep us updated on this. We're going to have Karen on at least once a quarter here talking about the train campaign. And there's also, we have these nice minutes that are run on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday here on Robin Hood Radio as well. Vignettes that deal with trains. Karen, just keep up the good work. Once again, on the web, it is traincampaign.org?
That's right.
Traincampaign.org. And keep us abreast of the information and have a great day, Karen.
Great to talk to you, Marshall. Thanks so much.
All right, take care. Once again, that is the Train Campaign, traincampaign.org on the web.